Soon after, Al Smith was elected to his first term as governor of the state of New York. He made an inspection tour of Sing Sing, the state prison. And after Governor Smith had toured the entire plant, the warden came to him and said that the morale of the prisoners was very low. And he asked the governor if he could speak just a few encouraging words to the inmates. And so Governor Smith agreed and characteristically began by saying, "My fellow citizens." But then he remembered that they had lost their citizenship. And so nervously he began again and said, "My fellow convicts." And that, for some reason, did not quite seem right either. And so this time he was embarrassed beyond all words and said, "Well, anyway, I'm glad to see so many of you here." Now, despite that poor man's good intentions, the governor did very little that day to uplift the morale of the inmates. After those unfortunate opening words, everything went downhill. Now, by way of contrast today, in the gospel episode we just heard, the opening words of Jesus to Peter and Andrew seem to have had some kind of explosive, curious force upon those men. They struck with such power that Peter and Andrew immediately dropped their fishing nets to go with Jesus as disciples. Now, gospel writer Mark did not indicate what else Jesus may have said to them at that first meeting, but rather he simply gives us that one crucial phrase that served to open up the minds and the hearts and allowed them to accept this extraordinary proposal to follow Jesus. He said, "Come with me, I will make you fishers of people." Now, those words of Jesus are very public words because they foreshadowed the formation of a community of followers that one day would be called church. But in addition to this public dimension, this initial call of Jesus to discipleship had a very rich personal dimension. That invitation reached beyond the concept of institution to the very makeup and character of persons as persons. Something again today which we must learn in church work to reach below and beyond institution at times and recognize that church is people above and beyond institution. The words today of Jesus, when he called Peter and Andrew, reveal what a very sure grasp Jesus had of how persons are put together and what it takes to trigger those inner springs that propel people into action. As Mark is careful to point out, Jesus saw that Peter and Andrew were working with their fishing nets. And Jesus saw that in those nets, in the act of fishing, there was a relationship between what those men were doing now and what they might be doing in the future. Peter and Andrew had been very good fishermen all their lives. Fishing was their living, it was their competence, they were good at it. And any attempt that Jesus might make to persuade them to abandon their good livelihood, to simply scrap a career in which they were competent, to ask them right there on the spot to pick up another career, would not work. Rather, the invitation had to have a special flavor about it. And the invitation that Christ made did. He observed simply what Peter and Andrew were doing now, They were fishing in one way, and he simply invited them to begin fishing in another way in time to come. In that sense, Jesus turned their present into their future. So often when people in this parish ask what it is they can do for the church community above and beyond our Sunday worship together, the response that I make and other members of the parish always is a translation of what Jesus said. Try to do for our community of faith what you are talented to do, what you like to do, an extension of the way in which you normally spend the rest of your time doing, because in that you are talented and you are comfortable and you will enjoy sharing your talents with other people of the community. If you don't do that, something not too good is going to happen, which was reflected a few years ago in that book that became quite famous called The Peter Principle. It was a bestseller. The author attempted to show how, in our complex bureaucratic society today, the failure to recognize people for who they are and what they can do very often produces chaos within the system, and sometimes even personal disaster when people get caught up in the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle states very simply that in the bureaucratic system today, many people rise to a level beyond their competence. And this, by the way, is very true in the church institution and hierarchy today, because people believe that one's potential for happiness and success is always measured by the potential for upward mobility, because people, for some reason, by peer pressure, have been led to believe that moving up the ladder is the first priority in life. They allow themselves to be thrust into areas of responsibility for which eventually they discover they are poorly suited. And yet, because they are who they are, they soon discover for themselves, but they hardly ever admit, that they were much happier when they were functioning at a point down the ladder, in a job that was in keeping with their competence. The author of the Peter Principle simply contends that whenever there is an excessive devotion to upward mobility, rather than recognizing each person working according to his or her own competence, he says this explains why in our bureaucracy today, in our corporate hierarchies in the churches, we end up with unwieldy mazes. And this is why so often it appears it is so difficult to get things done. The person who is thrust into a situation in which he can hardly and adequately relate soon discovers that he or she can not adequately relate to the people around him or her. And this is why Jesus, being a very, very good person in understanding other people, when he called Peter and Andrew into his ministry, he spoke to them in metaphor. That is, he talked to them about one thing in terms of another thing. They had been fishing for fish. Now he said, I invite you to go on fishing because you are good at it, but I invite you to do something more important, and that is to fish for people. This way of speaking on the part of Jesus was far more than just mere cleverness in the use of language. Because by telling them what he did, he was saying that he recognized them for who they are. He told them something very important. He said, I recognize the potential that you have. Had they been not fishermen, but farmers, Jesus simply would have said, I invite you to harvest and to reap and to bring people into the fold. But he said, I will make you fishers of people. And in that way, Peter and Andrew are invited to achieve happiness, fulfillment, completion, in the context of the extension of their real lives. And this is what we do in the church. Everyone has a competency within the church community to offer their talents in perspective of what they normally do in their ordinary, regular, daily living. That is how they can find further fulfillment. We recognize where people are at, and then we instill within people a lively sense of where they are going, or could go, to find happiness. Jesus said, look, come with me. I will make you fishers of people. And in those words, we discover calls to action. Today, there are so many people enmeshed in a kind of spiritual bureaucracy, the Peter principle in the church. The first disciples were not characterized by any kind of spiritual bureaucracy, but rather it was a spirit of immediacy, a spirit of urgency, a spirit of getting things done. And Jesus said to them, all right, now let's get with it. Let's cut through all the spiritual red tape. Let's begin to get things done for a cause that is worthwhile. And today we too in the church need to learn how to untangle the web of conflicting interests, the spiritual red tape that so often bogs down our mission of discipleship. The typical spiritual bureaucrat today allows himself or herself to be tied down by the promise of comfort and security, just as long as you do not rock the boat, just as long as you go along with the crowd, as long as you allow peer pressure to run your life. And yet, in the year that I've been here now, I have discovered that above all, so many of our people in this parish need to be liberated, need to be freed from the useless guilt that the church has placed upon them. Our people need to learn how to transcend the system. They must be allowed to form a mature conscience. They must be allowed to make adult decisions for themselves, no longer to be treated as children. Our people must learn how to freely transcend those elements of the institution which have been encrusted by cultural and historical circumstances. Our people must be encouraged to learn how to separate the heart of the rich meaning of our faith that gives direction to our lives from the non-essentials which so often only bear guilt upon their backs. There are many ways of doing this besides Sunday Eucharist, a guided program in healthy theological reading, taking an active part in our adult education classes. All of these are ways in which our people are to be invited to grow. And the call of Jesus to fulfillment, to happiness, comes to you as individual people, and your response is always a unique response.